And welcome now to the midday for a Wednesday. I'm Norman Gilliland. They were two of the greatest composers of all time, born within about 100 miles of each other in the same year, and yet they never met. Their names, Johann Sebastian Bach and George Frederick Handel. And here to give us part of that story is Trevor Stevenson, the artistic director of the Madison Bach Musicians. Welcome back to the midday.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Happy early afternoon.
Sure. And so, thanks. Bach and Handel will at least meet in a couple of concerts, three concerts altogether, that you and your forces will be putting on.
Yes. We thought we'd start this. This is our 15th season. We thought, well, what a better way to start than with having the two masters meet who never met in life. You know, Bach and Handel were born just, like you said, a few miles apart from each other. And actually, you know, Handel was so cosmopolitan, he took off for Italy at the age of around 19 or something, and he never really comes back to Germany. He ends up in England making quite a bit of money and as a theater man, and becomes famous in his own time. He's published and everything. And so he goes back to Germany in late middle age to visit his boyhood home in Halle, as, you know, celebrity visit, like Mark Twain goes to Hannibal kind of thing. And J.S. Bach, who is not famous except among musicians, right, decides to go visit Handel. So he gets in a carriage and he rides a couple of hours to meet Handel at Halle. And Handel leaves just before Bach gets there because, you know, Bach forgot to charge his cell phone or something like that. No, but the point is there might have been a playoff, you know.
Yeah, a keyboard right. competition.
A showdown,
yeah. Yeah, it was a common pastime at the times. And it's just possible that that Handel had heard one way or the other that Bach might be pretty good.
Yeah. He definitely knew that Bach was good. It's, of course, but who knows what the advance warning was on this. Maybe he didn't even know Bach was coming and he just left. But nevertheless, that's the story. And then the second time Handel returned, Bach was so sick he couldn't even get out of bed, and he sent his oldest son to meet Handel and give good wishes. But it still would have been interesting. There's such different people. You know, Bach comes from a long line of musicians. You're pretty much expected to be a musician in his family. I mean, they were all musicians in one way
or
another.
Hundreds of them.
Yes. Handel comes from the exact opposite. No musicians. His father wanted him to go into the law. Handel's father was in a second marriage. He was 60-some years old when Handel was born, and Handel had to fight tooth and claw just to become a musician. There's some hilarious stories about this. And so he does not stay, you know, there in central Germany and all that. He goes off to the big cities, first in Italy and then, of course, to England to become a theater man, you know. So they're just, you know, whereas Bach stays in the belly of the Lutheran church right there in central Germany. And so anyway, but they're both such, amazing geniuses. Again, Handel, the man of kind of the theatrical catharsis, Bach, almost the metaphysical composer. And we thought we'd put them together on a program.
And so this gives you some idea, for starters, of the sort of thing you might hear, although the first piece we hear is from an earlier composer.
Right, yeah. So this this is really more reflective of our 15th year. I put together a few highlights from the last 15 seasons, pieces that still kind of bounce around in my head from particularly wonderful performances. And the first one we're going to hear is by Heinrich Schütz, a great 17th century German composer. And this was performed in December of 2014. The piece is a duet for continuo, two violins, and two voices. And the text is Guldne Haar, gleich Aurora, basically your golden hair like the dawn. It, you know, I die because it's so beautiful. It kills me, basically. And it's a German really writing in the Italian style and of one of Schütz's teachers, Monteverdi.
Thank you.
So it's popular music from the 17th century?
Yeah, it's called bubblegum rock of the 17th century. And written probably when the 30 Years' War was just, you know, plowing along. And so it's hard to imagine that kind of light-footed joy in the middle of a very, very hard time. That's, again, Heinrich Schütz, and that was Madison Bach Musicians playing at First Congregational Church in December of 2014. I thought we'd follow it with another highlight of the past from 2010, but also in First Congregational Church. And this is the first movement of Haydn's very Sturm und Stress, Sturm und Drang symphony, the number 26 in D minor. And you can certainly hear how Mozart got Don Giovanni and the D minor piano concerto right out of this.
Thank you.
does sound like chickens at the end there.
I was going to say the whole barnyard is in there. That's, you know, and the in the 18th century when composers like Haydn were bringing the hunting horns into the concert hall, it was an outdoorsy country feeling that was being brought into a very sophisticated situation. So everyone kind of expected a little mud on the floor, you know, that's what you get there at the end. It's such a wonderful little 8-measure coda that Haydn puts on to that one. We were saying that if the first piece by Schütz was bubblegum rock of the 17th century, this is sort of the metal rock of the 18th century.
I would say, and so from rock to Bach, then.
Exactly.
How would you characterize him if you were going to go along with that metaphor, Trevor?
Right, yeah, from rock to Bach. I don't know. I think I'm stumped. I mean, except, you know, Bach's whole... his genius is that he's a fusion. I mean, that he puts everything together. One story about Johann Sebastian Bach, who we're going to hear next, is that when he went to the keyboard, he would often start with other people's music on, you know, up on the rack, and he would play it, and it would morph into Bach in 5 minutes, something like that, just like a great jazz player. And people wrote this down, that's what he did. So it all had to go through the Bach sausage grinder, and then it becomes Bach. So
very high-quality sausage.
Yeah, exactly. And he's integrating music from, you know, hundreds of years before him and his contemporaries, and, of course, writing something that is very futuristic in many ways. So, again, just as part of our 15th year Madison Bach Musician Celebration, I thought I would just do something that would kind of touch on the past but look forward, and that do the Well-Tempered Clavier Book 2, because we did Well-Tempered Clavier all of Book 1 several years ago. I performed it and gave lectures on it. So this is the beginning of a new project, and this is the C Major Prelude and Fugue for Book 2, which, you know, Bach wrote over 15 years after Book 1. You can hardly believe that he could never get enough. He wrote the most beautiful set of preludes and fugues and then decided to do it again in a completely new way. So here's Bach in late middle age writing in C major at the beginning of Book 2 of the Well-Tempered Clavier. And this is me playing the harpsichord and recorded yesterday. I thought we'd have something new.
And did you want to go straight from that to the fugue then?
Yeah, I think if we can link them up.
Here we go.
Thank you.
some lively stuff.
Yeah, that is the C major prelude and fugue from book two of the Well-Tempered Clavier, and that was me, Trevor, playing it yesterday. And playing it on a Flemish harpsichord, a replica Flemish harpsichord made by Norman Shepherd here in Madison. So anyway, I just thought it'd be nice to look ahead to book two of the Well-Tempered Clavier. We're celebrating 15 years of Madison Bach musicians. This is our 15th season, and it starts this Friday night.
That's right, October 5th.
Right at
Grace Episcopal.
Grace Episcopal down on the square. And then on Saturday night, it's at Emmanuel Lutheran on Spate Street on the east side. And then we take it on Sunday, it goes out to Sauk City to Park Hall, the Freethinkers, Sunday afternoon. So we'll run it three times. It's a very portable group. There's just four of us. The Chelsea Shepherd, favorite soprano, is here, coming in from New York. Kangwon Kim will be playing the violin, obligatos. James Waldo will play cello, and I'll be playing harpsichord. So we are portable for this one.
Well, that's good. Yeah, and same program, three different places, so it will come to you. We have one more from Johann Sebastian.
Right. This is from the B minor Mass, which is a piece that, you know, there's a lot of discussion about what he was writing at the very end. He started the B minor Mass and wrote much of it in the 1730s, but he was working on some of the Crucifixus moments and other things in the last weeks of his life. It's kind of interesting. This piece is just... As some people said, perfect in the extreme. It is beautiful beyond belief. And this is the conclusion. This is the very last two-minute movement of the B minor Mass, Grant Us Peace, Dona Nobis Pacem. This is a Madison Bach Musicians collaboration with UW Madrigal Singers in 2008, also at First Congregational Church. And Bruce Gladstone is conducting this. So the Dona Nobis Pacem from the Mass in B minor by J.S. Bach. Pacem from the Mass in B minor by Bach is performed
back in 2008 by members of the Madison Bach Musicians and the UW Madrigal Singers. And my guest today has been the founder and director of the Madison Bach Musicians, Trevor Stevenson, who will be leading three concerts of the same program, Music of Bach and Handel, Arias and Sonatas. And you can find out more about that at madisonbachmusicians.org. Trevor, always a pleasure.
Thank you. It's been fun. Thank you.